How many of you have heard the expression, Christmas in July? You've heard that expression, Christmas in July? How many of you wish Christmas was in July so it wouldn't be quite as cold as it's been? It's been some unusually cold. In my opinion, it's been colder in December than it normally is around here. Would y'all agree with that? So anyway, I'm going to title today's sermon, and we're still going to come out of the Gospel of John a little bit, but I'm going to title today's sermon, Easter in December. Easter in December. And since this is our last get-together before Christmas, I figure we ought to start with some of the most famous Christmas verses. We ought to start with this verse of Scripture in Luke. And it always makes me think of Charlie Brown. How many of you remember the old Charlie Brown? Every Christmas, they would do the Charlie Brown special. Now the world's become so secular and so anti-God that they don't play Charlie Brown anymore. They play No Telling. We Three Wokes or something. I don't know what they play, but The Grinch Who Stole Christmas or something. But anyway, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to some people." Y'all play along with me this morning. It's cold. Help me. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's say that, and then let's just say Merry Christmas. Ready? All right. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, thank y'all for adding that. So let's do this. Who is he? Good answer, too. That's the kids' answer. It's always Jesus. Who is he?
Christ the Lord.
Who is he?
Christ the Lord.
So at his birth, when he came into the world, he was Christ the Lord. Remember, in the beginning, John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then you skip down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." So Christ the Lord was born 2,000 years ago, and then 33 years later, he's standing in front of Pontius Pilate, John 18:38. 33 years later, he's standing in front of Pontius Pilate. One of his friends has betrayed him. One of his friends betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Remember that? He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees had arrested him because they were envious and jealous of him because he actually represented God and did the works of God. And they arrested him because he offended them, and he told them that the law and what they thought religion was about wasn't religion, but serving God in spirit and in truth was true Christianity or true worship, right? So they arrest him. And because it's the Passover, because they're religious people and it's the Passover, they can't even go in to where he's being tried. They have to tell him and take him in front of Pontius Pilate during the Passover. And so he's standing in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate interrogates him and questions him and asks him if he's a king. What a question. And then finally, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Because Jesus told him that he was truth. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Christ the Savior was born. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. He lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. And Pontius Pilate declares, and all four gospel writers say the same thing, "I find no fault in him at all." So what did he do for 33 and a half years? I'm going to back this up with Scripture. Hebrews 4:15 says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Is that good news or not? Now listen, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, here it is, yet without sin. See, it wouldn't have done anybody any good for somebody else to die for us. It had to be God die for us because God's the only one that had no sin. See how plain that is and how amazing that is? So Pilate just confirms what the scripture have already told us, that he was in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's worth worshiping the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Because he became flesh and dwelt among us, and so he was tempted like we were. He knew what it was like to, we know he knew what it was like to be hungry. Remember the fig tree? The fig tree is so sad that he was hungry, right? We knew what it was. We know he knew what it was like to be tired. We know he knew what it was like to be frustrated. We know what it was like to be angry. But he was tempted in all these points, but he never sinned. What did he do? What's his legacy? What's the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he hurt people? Did he make things tougher on them? Huh? Did he bring a political system? Did he cause strife, division, turmoil? No. What did he do for 33 and a half years? Here's what he did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Listen to this. Who went about doing good. Everybody say that. Who went about doing good. Again, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Pilate had revelation. Pilate saw that an innocent man had been brought to him, but Pilate didn't have the courage to do the right thing because Pilate cared what people thought about him. And Pilate wanted to hold on to his position. But he knew that Jesus was innocent, and he saw and observed that. And we find out that for 33 years, for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry, he went about, well, he did good all 33 years. You know he was the best student in grade school, right? You know he was the best carpenter in carpenter school, huh? You know he was the best camel rider in camel school, wasn't he? Don't you know that? Amen. You see what I'm saying? So what did he do? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here's another side to that. Not only do we find out that God the Son is good, we find out that God the Father is good. We find out that God the Father loved the world so much that he sent God the Son so that we won't perish, but that we'll have everlasting life. Let's say that last part. We're going to start at the word who. We're going to start at the word who, and we're going to say that last part together. Ready? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who was doing the oppressing? And who was doing the setting free? Amen. God through Jesus. So God the Father, God the Son. And also, wait a minute. We got the Trinity involved here. Wait a minute. Let's don't leave the Trinity out. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, one of the things that I always try to do during Christmas time, and I used to preach this sermon. I had a sermon called Jesus is not a $1.99 doll. You seen these nativity scenes? Now, I think sometimes in these new live nativity scenes, they actually put a real baby in there, don't they? Do they wrap him in swaddling clothes? But anyway, I always want everybody to understand that we, and by the way, how many of you know it's right and proper to celebrate Christmas? How many of you know it's right and proper to say Merry Christmas? Every time anybody says Happy Holidays to you, what do you say back to them? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So I am totally pro-Christmas. I'm totally for recognizing this time of the year, once a year, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. See, our country used to be primarily a Christian nation, a Bible-believing Christian nation, and that's why these traditions and these things have been installed. But as we get farther and farther away from Christendom, they try to take Jesus out of Christmas. But we're going to make sure everybody knows that the reason we have Christmas is because of Jesus. Right, Jerry? The reason we have Christmas is because of Jesus. So it always kind of bothered me when they'd have the nativity scene, and it seemed like they gave more preference to Mary. And by the way, boy, everybody remember a man by the name of Fred Price, one of my favorite mentors who passed away? He got so mad if you put the three wise men in the nativity scene. Remember that, Brian? He'd get so mad if you put the three wise men in the nativity scene because, according to Scripture, they didn't show up until he was probably about 2 years old, and they came to his house and presented him with those gifts. So anyway, boy, Fred would just get on that. He'd say, man, they weren't there. So anyway, I always want people to understand that, yes, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but more than celebrating the birth of Jesus, we're celebrating his life, his death, and his resurrection. So here's what he did. He came into the world. He did not sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that beautiful? And then while he was here, what he did while he was here is he went about doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed by the devil, because God had anointed him with his Spirit. And then this is the most amazing thing, because, you know, physical problems are not good. It's not good to be sick in your head or sick in your body, right? You understand that? It's not good. But it's not the thing that's most important relative to you getting into heaven. The thing that's most important relative to you getting into heaven is you need to be reconciled to your Creator. Now, what we teach and what we believe, listen very carefully, everybody happy? What we teach and what we believe is that when you get reconciled to your Creator, you can find out who you are in Christ, and you can begin the process of overcoming physical and mental infirmities, right? And poverty, and strife, and discord. So we're not in any way, shape, or form turning our back on that good news, but before we can get people's bodies healed, or their minds healed, or their marriages restored, or their relationships restored, the first thing we got to do is get them right with God. That's the first thing we got to do. And so, not only did he go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but it says that God, that is, that God was in Christ. Now, you know, there's some debate. There would be some people that would debate about whether God's in certain people. I'm not going to use me. I'm not going to let y'all talk bad about me on Christmas. But there would be some debate. And there's actually, let me say this. There's no debate that God's not in a lot of people. A lot of people don't realize that. There's no debate that God's not in a lot of people. If you're hurting people, murdering people, seducing people, lording over people, God's not in you. That's not what God does. Do you know that the Bible says that God is love? Say that with me. God is love. God's not trying to love. God is love. And the God who is love, listen to this, the God who is love was in Christ. This is one of the things that's going on in our society, and this is one of the things that we have to be diligent about and strong about and purposeful about. We have to maintain the integrity of the truth that will stay for all generations. See, there's a whole generation of people that don't even know anything about Jesus. See, that's what's happened with 50 years of secular education. Don't shout me down now. 50 years of, maybe more than 50. I think, when did they take God out of the schools? Anybody know the year on that? Huh? So it's at least 50 years ago. The government offered us free books. You remember that? How many of you know sometimes when something's free, it's not really free? Huh? I'm trying to think of anything where they offer you something on TV, you know, they offer you something free. If you buy the shredder for $736, they'll throw in the paper for $2 or they'll throw you the paper. How many? So sometimes when something's free, that's not necessarily a great thing. So they said, hey, I tell you what, if you send your kids to public school, we'll give you a free education. Oh, we said, man, that sounds wonderful. And you know, in fairness, boy, I'm going to step on some toes here, but I don't really want to on Christmas morning. But in fairness, when that all started, most of our teachers had a Christian background. Did any of y'all, let's do this because it's Bible study. That's what we do here. And I'm hoping that's why you come for Bible class. I don't think any of you is coming for the nursery back there, are you? Huh? I don't think there's anybody back there that's coming for that vibrant Sunday school class being taught for the teenagers back there. Is that what it is? Now, I don't think any of you came to hear our fantastic guitarist or our wonderful vocalist, right? I think you came because you want to hear a Bible lesson. And listen, I want to say this too, and I mean this sincerely. I want everybody to hear this. I am not trying to keep anybody from going somewhere else. If you need all those things, I want you to receive those things. If we can get you out of here by 9:30 and you can get to somewhere else to get the other stuff, I don't mind that at all. I want you to get whatever you need. And we're not the only game in town. I'll tell you, these people that bought this facility, these people have got it going on. I'm not going to say a derogatory thing about them. They have a ministry. I believe they would probably have a ministry for animals. They've got every kind of ministry that I can think of. And that's a wonderful thing. And that takes a great deal of conviction and courage. Amen. And fortitude. But anyway, so let me ask you this. Anybody in y'all's, how many of you went to free public school? Can any of y'all remember having a Christian teacher? Bright, you can. Dwayne, you can. You can. So you did have a Christian teacher. Somebody else? Yeah, they actually literally talked to you about Christianity or gave you the impression that
yes.
Yeah. And so what I think's happened, and again, I'm not trying to downplay teachers, but what's happened over time in 50 years, less and less of our teachers have a Christian background. So we can't expect our kids to know anything about Christianity. So it's going to be up to us to teach our children and get them the information about true Christianity. Because it doesn't look like we're going to go back the other direction that much. Although the state of Arizona makes it real easy. I want you to hear this. The state of Arizona makes it real easy to send your kids to a Christian school through this private school tuition program. So anyway, I know that this is probably not, doesn't affect our crowd, but by the radio or internet, you can hear what I'm saying. Anyway, I said all that to tell you, Jesus not only went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but God, and this is the information we've got to bring to people that they don't know because we've allowed our world to become secular, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See? Not imputing their trespasses to them and has, listen to this, here's what he's done, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know, it's Christmas. We got to put that verse up. Everybody see that? Is it Luke 2:16? Glory to God in the highest. Let me show you this. Don't let that get out of your mind now. Let that stay in your mind. This is one of those go-to verses you got to have in your mind right here. Luke 2:14. Listen to this. And let's stand up on this verse. Let's stand up and then we'll sit back down. Come on, let's stand up. Ready? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Say it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I think once more we ought to say it to everybody. Merry Christmas. Amen. Now, you can sit down. This requires some explanation because some people misteach this. This is not peace between man and man. How many of you know that there's never been peace between man and man? There's always been wars and rumors of wars. Why is that? Anybody know why? You can say it if you know it. Amen. That's right. Because he's the God of this world, and so there's always been wars and rumors of wars. This does not mean peace between man and man. This means peace between God and man. And then when you get peace between yourself and God, then you'll be a creator of peace in your environment. Does everybody see that? That's how that works. See, so some people think that Jesus came with an olive branch for all humanity, but he only brought an olive branch to those who will believe in him. Right? And so the way for people to understand true peace is to accept Jesus Christ and make peace between yourself and God. Let me give you one more verse. Everybody see that? That's a good one. Let's say it one more time. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward me. Between God and men. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not holding our sins against us. Isn't that a beautiful thing that he's not holding our sins against us? So look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that, Coco? Peace between God and man. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself, not holding our sins against us. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We might as well read verse 2. Through whom also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Y'all see that? All right, so here we are. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, is born. Christ the Savior, Christ the Lord is born. He's the God-man. He's fully God, he's fully man. He walks about the earth for 33 and a half years. He goes about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God is with him. God's in him. And so ultimately then, he has to pay for our sins. Remember last week's sermon? I hope some of you retained some of it. Remember that the reason why the Holy Spirit could not be given until Jesus was glorified was because until Jesus was glorified, boy, I'm going to throw one out here at you, because I'm not going to see you for 3 weeks. So you'll get over being mad at me. Why did Jesus have to be glorified in order for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts? Anybody remember what I said last week about it? It's what kind of heart can't the Holy Spirit live in? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Holy Spirit can't live in a sinner. He has to live in a righteous saint. It's all right. I'm not mad. I'm not mad about it. Huh? You remember that now? That makes me feel better. And that's why in school you didn't go for just a day. You went for 9 months and spent most of that time doing recess. Now, you do remember that? So the Holy Spirit couldn't come into the heart of a sinner. Jesus had to make us righteous through the sacrifice that he made for us. In other words, you know, you hear this all the time, and a lot of times people misinterpret it. It's taking you down the Roman road, and a lot of times people misinterpret this and take it the wrong way. How many of you have heard the phrase, and it's true, that God is holy? Absolutely. Remember in the book of Revelation that the elders stand before the throne and shout, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And I think, how many of you have seen some of the little sheets? Billy Graham puts it out. So a holy God can't fellowship with sinners. And so I think a lot of times we interpret that, though, in the wrong way, as though God is resisting us. But he's not. How many of you remember back in the Garden of Eden, he didn't even resist Adam and Eve after they sinned? Who was doing the resisting? Adam and Eve. Who was hiding behind the tree? What was the classic line that, you know, one of the saddest lines in all the Bible? Adam, where are you? God called out, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid and I hid. See, so it is true that God's holy. And it is true that he can't fellowship with sinners. But what's the good news is he did something about our sin. Okay? Everybody see that? I'm going to say it again. We have started supporting the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and they've got a little booklet, little red booklet. It's about that big, called Steps to God. And I'm tempted just to get us all about 30 of them and just teach that one Sunday. It's so simple, but I think what it'll do, it'll help us be more evangelistic and understand the principles that we need to know in order to live our lives and live for others, how to represent it for others. So it absolutely is true that God is holy. It absolutely is true that we're sinners. We've been separated from him because of our sin. All have sinned. Remember Romans 3:23? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53, there is none righteous, no, not one. But, because of the condition we were in, the only person that could save us from that condition was God himself. So God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh so that we could experience the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? Let me give you this. In Jamin, it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, listen, let's look at this. For he made him, talking about who? Jesus. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. See, he's the sin offering. See, think about it. So here's what we're talking about. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Here's our Christmas message. Christ the Savior was born. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. He didn't do anything bad. And then he reconciled us to God by the sacrifice of his body so that our sins could be paid for, so that we could become sons and daughters of Almighty God. That's what everybody, hopefully, if you get up on December the 25th and you go to a Christmas service, hopefully that's what somebody's telling you. And I believe there are a lot of people that are telling that. I really do. And I tell you, the longer I do this, that's all I really want to tell people. Because if you take it much deeper, it seems like they get off the line. You know what I'm talking about? It's a fishing term. You know, if you put too much bait out there, it ain't going to work. That's analogy ain't going to work, because the more bait you put out there, the better the chances of catching a good fish, right? Anybody got a better example I can use? But it does appear to me that the more you offer people about God, the less interested they seem to get. Does that make sense? Are you nodding or yawning, Donnie? Both. A little bit of both. Amen. And again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. We're always going to talk about the fact that Jesus came to heal us, not only to save us, but to heal us and to set us free emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. But I think the most important thing we've got to do is to get people's sins forgiven so that they can be reconciled to God. And then we can lead them into that gradually and slowly and carefully. And here's the analogy. And not put too much bait on. Well, wait a minute. I can't do it. That bait thing, the bait thing's not going to work. I can't get it. All right, here we go. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Notice this. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, can the Holy Spirit live in a righteous person? Yes. Now, are we righteous because of anything we've done? I'm going to take you back to another verse. I have to. Titus 3:4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus appearing to us. But when the kindness, is Jesus a historical fact? Yes, you can deny him, You can turn your back on him, but you cannot refute the fact that 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ lived on the earth. Jewish historians know for a fact that he lived. He's a person of history. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, here it is, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How did he do it? But according to his mercy he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So in case you didn't get it last week, I'm going to give it to you again. What happens is, you have to recognize that Jesus said it in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will receive eternal life. You have to recognize that Jesus Christ died for you, paid for your sins, so that you could then come into relationship with God because he fully paid for all your sins and all your unrighteousness. And now you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And the Holy Spirit then comes in through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit and makes you a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, a lot of people struggle with that because they don't understand that that brand new person is not in your mind. You didn't get a new mind. Now you get your mind renewed, but you don't get a new mind. And nobody gets a new body yet. How many of you know that that's a fact? But you got a brand new person on the inside, made in the image of God, made in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Blessed, listen to this, blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You have become a partaker of God's divine nature. Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Now it's wonderful. Now you can now Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. We don't bah humbug happy holidays. Merry Christmas and happy, happy new year. Because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Amen. That's all I know. Somebody said, well, I want to know more. Well, find somebody else, because that's all I know. That's the extent of what I can tell you about it. Amen. And it's and you can never hear it enough. And you can never understand it enough. Right? Everybody see that? Everybody understand that? All right, let me give you the rest of the verses in the lineup. Here it is. I don't want to give you too much this morning. I want you to think about this. Does it kind of come together a little bit for you? Huh? Does it all kind of come together for you? Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's exactly in line with 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. See, he was made to be sin. Who himself bore our sins. See, this is, by the way, anything that you have, anything you know about Scripture then you're going to form a doctrine on, you better have at least two or three verses to back up your opinion. And God will give you at least, there's what I'm talking about, the things I've talked about this morning, it's all over the epistles. Remember last week, what did we tell you? Where's the main emphasis of your Bible study ought to be? In the epistles, Romans through Jude, because that's going to build inside of you who you are in Christ and what he did for you. Now, you want to read the four Gospels on a regular basis. You want to read about the greatest life ever lived. You want to read about the life that went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Can I be any clearer than that? You also want to know, have some understanding of the Old Covenant. You also want to understand that we, Life in Christ Ministries, which is what we are, we're a ministry. We believe that this is the infallible Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but it's progressive revelation, and you gain all truth when you study the epistles. You find out who you are in Christ when you study the epistles, right? Nothing wrong with what I just said. Let me say this to you, too. I think this will help you. Did you know that the epistles, let me say this to you. I won't do it because of time. Paul wrote most of them. Paul wrote 13 of them. Peter wrote, let's see if we can do this. Paul wrote 13. If you give Paul Hebrews, Paul wrote 13. Peter wrote 2. It's almost like a little poem. Paul wrote 13. Peter wrote 2. John wrote 3. James wrote 1. Jude wrote 1. I think I went out of order, though. Paul wrote 13. Peter wrote 2. James wrote 1. Jude wrote 1. And John wrote 3. And I got confused. Okay. Anyway, did you know, here's what I was going to say to you. Did you know that Paul got the New Testament revelation out of the Old Covenant? Do you know that? See, he got the New Testament revelation out of the Old Covenant. God revealed to him that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And from that verse, I think it's, don't turn it, it's Genesis 15:6. From that verse, Paul was birthed the revelation of salvation by grace through faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Circumcision and all the law didn't come until Abraham believed God. Believing God's what brought the blessing on Abraham. That verse, and then my world-famous prophet, Habakkuk. Somewhere in there, he said, the just shall live by faith. So he got all that stuff out of the Old Covenant because, see, the Old Covenant testifies about Jesus. So we believe in the entire totality of the Holy Scriptures. Don't let anybody run off here and say that I am bad-mouthing any part of the Bible. I am not. If you want to spend some quality time reading the book of Leviticus and figuring out what bug you're not allowed to eat, then you be my guest. You listening to me? And I'll tell you, it's always a good thing to read the book of Genesis because the book of Genesis covers about 1,000 years of time. Everybody tracking? So what did that have to do with where I'm going here? I was going to do something. Oh, you got to get in those epistles and feed your mind and your heart on these things so that you can keep this revelation on the inside of you, because if you don't, the world will swallow you up. Amen. And I'm testifying. I know for a fact what I'm talking about. I got to do the same thing. People think because I get to teach and preach that I don't have to do any of this, and I have to do every bit of it. So, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. Right? So do I have a solid doctrine? Did Jesus pay for our sins? Right. And as a result of him paying for our sins, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, because, see, when he died, we died. Say that. When he died, I died. Say this with me. When he died, I died. When he was raised from the dead, there you go. See, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and then by whose stripes you were healed. Everybody got it? So is Christmas a good thing to celebrate? Is Jesus in that manger? Is it a $1.99 baby doll we're worshiping? No. No, let's go one place and we'll quit. Let's see. Let's get him where he is right now. Want to? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and then we'll quit. I mean it. Let's get him exalted to where he is right now. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 10, this is after he's been raised from the dead. This is when he goes into heaven. And we'll just read it. And we're going to go 10, 11, 12, and 13. Ready? Here we go. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. Again, do we have scripture that he created all things? Did Jesus create all things? And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. Now, we haven't touched that. Has anybody ever looked out at the sky and seen all that stuff? Huh? That's incredible. That's amazing. See, and the heavens are the work of whose hands? Jesus. He created all things through Jesus. Verse 11, They will perish. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Verse 12. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Let's stand up, and I'll quit right here with this verse right here. Everybody listening? So where is he now? And by the way, because I told you I was going to quit, I'm going to be true to my word, and I keep reading scripture to you. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? To which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And then if you'll read Romans 8, you'll find out that he's sitting at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Amen. If you've been listening by radio or internet, this is Christmas morning. This is going to play on Christmas morning on the radio. I trust that the Holy Spirit has revealed some of the things I've spoken to today. I trust that he's spoken this to your heart. I don't believe it was an accident that you tuned in to 92.3. I think you tuned in, and I think through that opportunity, God's going to be able to speak to your heart and ask you to receive Jesus into your life. Let me say this to you, and let me say it with as much sincerity as I can. God is not running away from you. God is reaching out to you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our peace offering. Jesus Christ is the person who died for our sins and who rose from the dead for our justification. And the Bible says all you have to do is receive that and receive him, and you will become a partaker of eternal life. Say this with me. Say, dear God, I heard the message. I heard about Jesus. And I believe in him. And I believe in what he did. I believe he died for my sins. And I believe he rose from the dead for my justification. I receive him as Savior and Lord. And I believe that what Jesus did for me brings me peace with you, Almighty God, my Creator. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we'd like to hear from you. We have a website called lifeinchristchurch.net. If you prayed that prayer, shoot us a little message and tell us you prayed that prayer. And then if you don't have a Bible, get your hands on a Bible. And I do recommend that everybody start reading the Gospel of John first, just to get really acquainted with Jesus Christ, and then go over and read the rest of the Bible up to the book of Revelation. And then you can read the whole thing. So, Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. See y'all back here on January the 8th.